Today's daf in Masechet Shviit in Yerushalmi is daf Mem Hey. We were sort of in the middle. Barnea may still be giving us, I don't want to say we finished it yet, a full description of the Brice of the Tchumim. But in any event, we were talking about Ashkelon yesterday. And the question was whether Ashkelon is considered to be within the Gvulais or outside of the Gvulais. So we talked about the Diuk yesterday, if you recall, at the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We talked about the Diuk of Ganya de Ashkelon. So there were these fertile areas which were called the Ashkelon Gardens. And since it includes those, it's mashma that Ashkelon itself is not included. And therefore it has a din of Chutzlaretz. And there was a whole discussion about this, and this is a famous braisa that comes up about the discussion of Ashkelon, which is Rabbi Simon, who said over a braita, the name of Chilfai, that Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi and Ben HaKapar, which is Bar Kapora, they were Nimnu al Ashkelon v'tiaru, which we talked about yesterday, and that was, remember, the question of whether we should take the Avir as being necessarily Avir. And I pointed out to you that most of the Mefarshim take for granted that Avir is Lav Davka. Some don't even have the gear, so they take out the word Avir. And they said that it's Tohar from Eretz HaAmim, because we know that Reb Pinchas ben Yair said that we used to go down during Shvias, or maybe it was because of Mises, we'll see. We used to go down to the farmer's market in Ashkelon, and we would buy Chitim during Shemitah. Then we would come back, and we would be Tevel, and we would eat Petruma, which means that Ashkelon apparently wasn't Tame, and that he had a right to go there, and Reb Pinchas ben Yair was a Kohen. He would go to Ashkelon, which he obviously wouldn't have done in the event that it was Tame Betumas HaAmim. So we would be Tevel, yeah, we would be Tevel, because wherever you go to a place where there's Tuma that is found there, such as the would have been the roke in the street from the goyim and so on, it would have been metamia, so we went to the mikveh. But in terms of the heter to actually go there, it was mutter to go there. Because of that, they said that Ashkelon wasn't tummy. So now, the pashtas, if you say that Ashkelon wasn't tummy, is that you're saying that it's not in chutz laretz, which seems to be the opposite of the diuk. So we said yesterday, okay, we know that there were a lot of places where they were bedavka. They left an area that was actually, was surrounded by places that would be chayev in Trumas HaMaisers and in Shvias. They left it out of the chayev. And because of that, it's possible that there were areas that were surrounded. They had themselves a din of chutzlaretz legavi Shvias, but they were surrounded by areas that were part of Eretz Yisrael. And certainly they never were metame those places because of Eretz HaAmim. So now the next day, they wanted to also take a vote and to pater Ashkelon from the chiyuv of taking off Meiser. So nimno alala fotro min ha-masrot, in the same way that we decided that even though it doesn't have Tumas HaAmim, it was considered to be chutz la'aretz, legabe the heter of Shvi is there, and Reb Pinchas ben Yair used to go there. So because of that, they wanted to say that it was also Potter from taking Meiser from there. So at that point, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, I remember now, we did this yesterday, so we're just chazering it. At that point, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi, who always used to have his arms around Ben HaKapar, he refused to hold on to Bar Kapar. And Bar Kapar didn't respond. So afterwards, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi said to Bar Kapora, don't you think you should have asked me why I don't want to hold you anymore? Lamalo amartali mipnei mama shachtat yadecha mimeni. Why did you take your hands off of me? Don't you understand that I did not like what you were doing? That's why I didn't want to hold on. I didn't want people to say that I agree with you. If you would have asked me like a mensch, I would have told you. It's true that I did join up with you yesterday in the psak. And at Mol, ani ushiti meti, ani ushiti hart. Yesterday's psak had to do with the Rabbanan. So, meaning I, that is to say, we, the Rabbanan, have a right to be Matayer, we have a right to be Matane, the whole thing is Xer the Rabbanan. But now, you want to tell me that absolutely, you should say it's Potter from Iser. I'm not sure about that, because that involves many issues that there are big machlokas in about, and I don't want to actually be the one that's going to start saying what the din is. Maybe this is part of the original kibush, and maybe, who knows, maybe, first of all, maybe Kiddush Rishona was Kiddush Lasid Lova. I don't want to paskin about that. And maybe it was Niskapsha Midvar Torah. And how am I going to patter it on the basis of this Svara? I'm going to patter it from a Diraisa. If a Maisa, there is a din, Midiraisa, to take off Maisa, I don't want to get involved in being maker on that. Binogea, the din of Tuma, which is in, that's entirely a din in Darabana. So they're fine. Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said, he goes in there. That's enough for me to rely on. But the fact that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair says, you know, we went in there to buy stuff, that doesn't mean that necessarily on a D'Oraisa, it should be for sure Chutz La'aretz. Okay? Obviously, Revi and Bar Kappara held that it was Mamish Chutz La'aretz, and the only reason that they weren't Matami it is, again, because of these forests, that there were areas that were specifically left out, but that we didn't want to be Matami them. That was the whole issue. We wanted them to be part of Eretz Yisrael Agapi Tuma, but we didn't give them Kedusha in order that the Aniyim should be Semech Aleihem B'Shvi'is. But now that raises a new issue, and this is the new part of the sugya. Once something is not Tameh Mishum Eretz Ha'amim, then it becomes open to a completely different halacha. And that is that where a goy owns a home, rents a home in Eretz Yisrael, the home becomes tamei because of a new halacha, which is called Madur Ha'akum. Madur Ha'akum means that since goyim are constantly fooling around with women and probably impregnating women, and causing them to have miscarriages so that they shouldn't get whatever, people shouldn't know about it. So they fill up their area with dead babies, and because of that, they're not makpid to mark them, and their homes are considered to be essentially graves. So because of that, we gave them a halacha of tuma because of Madura Ha'akum. Now, normally, the din of tuma of Madura Ha'akum is that from the time that a goy rents a home for you, 40 days later, it becomes Tameh, because in 40 days, your girlfriend could have had a fetus that would be Metameh if she goes ahead and gets an abortion, right? So we give her 40 days to be Metameh. But now, when we went ahead and we paskened, okay, there's no din of Tumas Ha'amim, how long would it take for Ashkelon to now become Tamei because of Madurot Ha'akum? Because up until now, we didn't consider that this is a place, because there was, we thought there was an overall Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim. But now that we're calling it, is it within Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the din of Tumah? So then what's the din of Madurei Ha'akum? So once you remain on Ashkelon to be Matayered, so does that mean that it becomes instantly, retroactively, Madurei Ha'akum? Or do we have the standard gezeirah of Madurei Ha'akum, and it takes 40 days in order for the Madurei Ha'akum issue to become relevant and to be metami? So that's the question. So Rabbi Simon said, from the moment of yesterday's gezeirah, where we said that we made a actual psak din, that Ashkelon, when it comes to the din of Tumas Ha'amim, is considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael, 40 days from that point, it will be Tameh because of Madurei Ha'akum. Oh, Rabbi Yirmiyahu, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, what we were saying is, we're not giving it a new halacha. I mean, we were saying that people who thought that Ashkelon was Tameh until now made a mistake, and that all along there was never a gezer of Tumas Ha'amim on Ashkelon. So why would it now take 40 days for it to go into effect? This is a retroactive thing, no? V'lo b'ta'uta no machzikim. They didn't change anything with this psak. They just said, this is the halacha, and it's always been the halacha. I mean, obviously, they're not changing the history of Ashkelon, are they? They're saying that miyad hitmeya mishumadora akum. So if that's the case, then it should become immediately tameh, because all along it was madora akum. Amar Rabbi Mana. And I've got an issue. Why in the world did they want to pater the Maisers in Ashkelon? Lorkein Amar Rabbi Yaakov Baracha B'Shem Rabbi Zera Min Matatani Ganya Da Ashkelon Hada Amra Ashkelon Kalachutz. So, what am I missing over here? We were Medayik, based on the Brisa of the Tchumim, that Ashkelon is Chutz La'aretz. And the only issue that we were talking about is whether there was a Gzera of Tumas Eretz HaAmim. Now, why do we need, for Bar Kapora and for Rebbe, and why did they need to get together to tell us something that apparently has been part of this ancient Brisa? It's inscribed on the floor in Beit Shan. I mean, what exactly did I miss over here? Hada Amra Ashkelon B'Kluchutz. That was the last thing that we learned yesterday. So isn't it obvious that it's by definition I can be chayav a meiser? Says the Gemara, why is that obvious? Tell me what the din is of tzur, okay? Are you allowed to go to tzur? No. If you're kohen, obviously. No. Why? Because it's tomei b'tumas ha'amim. So v'chitzor, ein osur leilach l'shon. And if you own things, you buy things in tzur, is there not a chiyav d'rabbanan? Because like Amun and Moab, there's a chiyav d'rabbanan to take off maisras. Well, I don't see what your problem is. So that's what we're asking over here. It's exactly the same thing. The lo tizbar meimar af hachaken, they needed to have a minyan in the Besdin to say, don't think that when you go to Ashkelon, you have to treat the food there as if you bought it in Tzor, which is also outside of the Tchumim. So people had to know that it was Potter. What's the problem, Bichlal? But one thing that I don't understand, based mamish on the Brisa of Tchumim, Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Abo were sitting and discussing, what about Aza? Now, it says in the pasuk, "Oktiv vayukod Yehuda et Aza veet Gvula." Now this is very problematic. If Aza was part of Yehuda, then we know that it says beferish in Ezra that basically that the Kohanim and the Levim and all of the she'eris of Yisrael, they ended up taking over all of the Nachal of Yehuda. That's what it says. It says, Vishar Yisrael, HaKohanim V'Alvi'im, B'chol Arei Yehuda, Ish B'Nachal Ato. That would mean that Aza should be part of the Tchumim of Olei Bongo. But Aza is even further south. So I don't get it. How is it that Ashkelon, you're telling me that's the end? Gane Ashkelon. South of Gane Ashkelon, that's not considered to be within the Tchum of the Olei Bavel. But it says Beferish in Nehemia that it is in the Tchum of Olei Bavel because Aza was part of the Nachal of Yehuda. It says Beferish in the Torah that they captured Aza. Something's weird. Says whoever was talking, but it doesn't say who was the one who asked the question, who was the one who answered, but whoever it was that was answering said, what you call Gaza, that's not our Gaza that all of the people are running around demonstrating for. It's the wrong Gaza. So, late day Aza. That is not Aza. So the Aza that we call Aza and that you think is within the Nachal of Yehuda, that's not Aza. We're talking about another Aza that was taken by Yehuda. Well, then what about Ashkelon? It says Beferish also that Shevet Yehuda was Kevesh, Ashkelon, and the Gvulas of Ashkelon. So now you're going to have the same problem with Ashkelon. Here it says Ashkelon is Mibachutz. Nah, it's a different Ashkelon. They say Ashkelon. It doesn't mean that Ashkelon. Oh, come on, man. So that means that everything in the Pasuk means something other than what it's saying. So when it also says over there, Nachal Mitzrayim, you know, it doesn't mean our Nachal Mitzrayim. There's another Nachal Mitzrayim. I mean, how could there be another Nachal Mitzrayim? What's the matter with you? I mean, there's limits. I mean, either it's obviously only called Nachal Mitzrayim because that is the natural place where you can see. Here's the gvul between Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Mitzrayim. So I don't believe it. It has nothing to do with it being a different Ashkel and a different Aza. It could be that the Inyan is that actually, maybe, they didn't take all of the cities, Mamish. Maybe it means B'chol Orei Yehuda that were part of the main area in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make sense that it's a different Az and a different Ashkelon. Okay. Omer Bishur ben Levi, Ksiv, Vayivrach, Yivtach, Mipnei Achav, Vayeshev, Beretz Tov. So initially, when all of his brothers claimed that he was the son of a whore because his mother comes from a different shave, it was a horrible story. So they reject Yiftach. So he goes to a place called Eretz Tov. This is the good land. So what exactly is an Eretz Tov? Where was that Eretz Tov? You know what that's referring to? It's referring to Susita. And why would they call it an Eretz Tov? Because it's Potter from Meiser. That's why it was good. You could eat there and you didn't have to worry about Trumas and Meisras. So because of that, there was no chashash of eating teva. So we call that a good place to be. Fine. So this is, you know, what we call Susita. Is that Susita near the Yam HaKinneret? So, the question, yeah?
I don't remember all the details, but do the Kohen point out that we find Tuvia and Tobias, and from the time of Beit Sheni, it's even carved into a palace wall next to the palace, which is below Amat, and he thinks that Eretz Tov is over there. I don't have an answer for the fact that, like Rebbe just said, Susita's by the Kinneret, but he wanted to identify it in a whole different region as 1,000 years of the name Tov associated with that area.
Okay, all right, but that's not what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi says clearly it's Susita. Okay, so the problem is that the people in Susita actually pay taxes to the government here. So, velomim alim misyinein. If they are paying taxes, then the pashtus is that they're considered to be a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. So, obviously, Rabami's asking that. So, he holds that the very fact that you're paying taxes is the equivalent of being part of the kibush, right? Now, Susita was basically, one could call it a surrender. They surrendered to Yoshua, and they agreed that they would pay tribute to Yoshua, and they would keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, as we'll see. And because of that, any of the Goyim that accepted that deal were allowed to accept that deal. Remember that Yoshua sent messages offering, as we're about to see, offering peace terms. So those places that agreed to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and that agreed to pay tribute to the Jews, so that was considered to be a kibush. The Yom Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, Shalosh Prastigiot Shilach Yoshua L'Eretz Yisrael. Before the invasion of Yoshua into Eretz Yisrael, he sent these three proclamations. This was actually Kanzalaretz. Number one, he said, whoever wants to leave on their own and not fight us, we guarantee free passage, we'll take care of you, and you can leave. Now's the time to leave. The second clause was, anybody who wants to be mashlim with us should be mashlim. Mashlim means that you agree to keep Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and that you agree to pay tribute. So surrender. You want to surrender? We accept the surrender. Whoever wants to fight, fine. Lasot milchama. Once you start, you're not going to be able to surrender, because then we would be mechayev you. We would be mechayev the destruction of Hamas. And there's not going to be any kind of terms that will be available, because you're part of the Shiva Amamim, and the Torah says don't let anybody alive. So this is your choice. So the Girgashi actually left, and they believed, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that the Eretz Yisrael belongs to Klal Yisrael, they trusted HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, listen, If it's the chosen people for the Holy Land, we don't belong here. And they left. And because of that, they had the schus to settle in South Africa. Look at that. So they were Holocla Afrika. And why do we know they went there? Because we know that that is the nicest place to live if you're not going to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because we see that from Rav Sheka. We're over there. He was telling the people, listen, we don't want to kill you guys. This is Sancheiriv's, remember, Jewish apostate that he had with Rav Sheka. And he did these all of this psychological warfare against the Jews. All you need to do is surrender, and we'll move you all to South Africa, and you will have wonderful lives there, and there's plenty of flights, you know, we'll even get flights going through Addis Ababa, no problem. So they all agreed to go to South Africa. Fine? So, Ad Bo Yivilakach Techem, Eretz Ka'artzechem, where are you going to find a place that has an Eretz of Ad Chalav Udvash? Where are you going to find a place like that? That's Africa. Okay. So the Givonim, they didn't want to go away, so they surrendered. And they were Yishlimo. And it says, Beferish, V'chi Yishlimo Yoshvei Givon et Yisrael. So these were the Chivi, and they pretended that they weren't from the Chivi. Okay. The other Shloshim Echad Melachim, they went where Osim Melchama V'naflu. But anyway, said Ravami, what do you see from here? That if they wanted to be Mashlim, that we would have accepted them. And we know that that was true about Susita. We know that they were paying, and we know that apparently that they were marshaling. So it was apparently part of Eretz Yisrael. That's what he held. Okay. Obviously, the Givonim was because they had accepted the deal in advance. We have no reason to say that Susita accepted the din in advance, and because of that, they never became part of Eretz Yisrael. This was some kind of later settlement. Now, the question is, why in the world do we find places that are outside of the Tchumim of Eretz Yisrael, and for some reason, as we've seen so far in a couple of places, the Chachomim did not Gozer Tumas Ha'amim. So where was Nogea Ginta de Ashkelon versus Ashkelon? And a couple of other places that we spoke about before. So over there, there's a clear-cut reason. It was right near the settled area, and it was surrounded and by settled area, and they wanted to leave certain areas which were problematic, and that meanwhile, to be Gezer Tuma on it would mean that Aniyim would never be able to buy there and so on. So they weren't Gezer Tuma. Okay. We know that because the Gemara says that there were Hiniach areas for whatever the purposes were. Political purposes. The Goyim are going to keep coming back and forth and Ashkelon, whatever the deal was. But I'm asking you about a completely different area. What about the whole area around Giradiko? Giradiko is far away. And why in the world wouldn't they have been Gezer Tumas Ha'amim on Giradiko, which is nearby, but is not surrounded? Says Rabbi Simon B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, because nobody would live in Giradiko. You've got to be crazy. It's a horrible place. And Nivuya Ra, it's a place that nobody in his right mind would live in. We don't make Gezeres in something where the only point of the Gezerah was to keep people away, that Kohanim shouldn't be going there, and so on. Giradiko stinks. It's got very bad air. You get there, you get sick. Nobody would go there. Okay? Where does this apply to? I mean, we're certainly not going to say that we take every area and we give it a special din according to what the living conditions are we? So, in other words, you're saying the area that really is close to Eretz Yisrael, that really was, should have been part of Eretz Yisrael, but we didn't capture it by the Aliyah Bava. So you're saying, okay, over there we make our determination what areas are considered to be Tamei Betumas Ha'amim and what areas not. But how far does that go? I mean, are we going to say that we are going to, we're already in Mitzrayim? Are we going to consider areas in Mitzrayim also not to be Tamei Betumas Ha'amim? So how far does this go? Ad Heichan. Rav Chani b'shem Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak says, no, that's the whole point. Ad nachal Mitzrayim. So once you're clearly in Chutz La'aretz as was originally defined, of course we get an overall gezerah of Tumas Ha'amim. But when you're back in Eretz Yisrael, in the Gvulais of Eretz Yisrael, now you're going to distinguish between the Olei Bavel and the Olei Mitzrayim. Over there we made determinations based on the specific conditions and what it is that it was kedai for us to be geiser. Since we didn't make a blanket gezerah, so therefore there was no gezerah in places that were disgusting to live in. So because of this geradiko area, we weren't made to make a gezerah. But where there's an overall gezerah of Tumas Ha'amim, it doesn't go according to the particular place. Hey, wait a minute. Aza is obviously within the Nachal Mitzrayim area, and Af Al Pikein, there's no gezerah of Tumas Ha'amim in Aza, and Aza is a very nice place to live. Vare Aza Noya Yafe. It's a nice place to live. As a matter of fact, there were wonderful yeshuvim, shuls, tremendous Torah that came from Aza. Some of our nicest negunim for Shabbos come from Aza, from Yisrael Najara. These were things that were in Aza. So why weren't they gozer in Aza that it should be Tamei? B'shivas Ha'amim. It's Noya Yafa. So, personally, I really think that this is a messed up girsa. Because it's very, very funny. And it's so interesting that the Reziner, of all people, changes the girsa. Remember the Reziner, that he was the one that originally misidentified the Trelis, right? This is fairly recent. So he wrote an amazing set of Sfarim, Mamish. It's one of the most astonishing Chiburim ever. It's called the Sidrei Taira. The Sidrei Taira is the equivalent of a Gemara on Tyrus. And he wrote it as if it's a Gemara. It's an amazing thing, right? So he has this sugya. And he took, he obviously was Malakit from all over Shas, and Yerushalmi, and Bavli, and so on. He put together all of the sugyas of Tyrus so that you could actually learn a Mesechus of Tyrus. Incredible. Anyway, so he changed this, and I'll tell you how he changed it very sweetly. So the way that we have the Girsa is that Mr. Pishpisha, now who ever heard of Mr. Pishpisha? So the moment you hear that name, you think, wait a minute. Who's Mr. Pishpisha? I never heard of a Tana called Pishpisha, right? So he says, Pishpisha says that I asked Rabbi Yossi, and I said to Rabbi Yossi, I personally went and asked Rav Acha what the din is. Are you allowed to go into Aza or not? And he said, Kohanim can go to Aza, Vishara, which means that we don't know why it was that there was no Tuma Gozer on Aza. And we just leave it hanging. Okay, I mean, it's not so terrible in the Yerushalmi that we leave it hanging. But, you know, Pishpisha is a very funny name. A beautiful story from my son-in-law. Very, very, very sweet, Lior. So he says like this. He had an uncle. His uncle used to ask this guy different shilas. And very often, they ask him different things. Guys that would say, I have to go to the bathroom, excuse me, I can't answer now. Right? But he claimed to be a big bucky in things. So the uncle said, oh, pish pish velo matza, yitle bebitul Torah. Ingenious, right? This is good old-fashioned Jewish humor, right? I was like, who named somebody Pishpish? what is going on with Pishpisha? So the Sidrei Tyrus has a brilliant explanation, which is, remember the sugya and ksuvas that we had in the Mishnah, of the difference between moving from a nova yofa to a nova ro'a. And that's within Chutz La'aretz. And the question of, in Eretz Yisrael, whether you can even force a mate to move from a Nova Yafa to, if it's a higher level of Kiddush, you remember the whole sugya over there. So the Gemara explains, what is wrong with moving to a nicer place? Nova Yafa, the same lashon that we asked over here about Aza, right? So we said over there in Ksuvos that the Nava HaYafeh is bodek. But the word for bodek in Aramaic Hebrew is mifashfesh. So when it says Noya Yafa, he was giving an answer. Pishpesh. That Noya Yafa is mifashfesh. And therefore, people don't live there because it's too high of a standard of living and they can't keep up with it. It actually ends up making them sick. It's just brilliant. Okay. I mean, but it means some serious changes.
It makes it the opposite of the Gordon King. Right, it's polar opposite.
That's his pshat. That's the whole point. You're asking Noya Yafa, Adarabba, Noya Yafa also is pish. It's brilliant because it takes the direct takeoff from the Mishnah in Ksuvos. It's absolutely wonderful. Okay, so that's an irresistible pshat, right? Okay, so I think we can end over here. Very beautiful, Baruch Hashem. Okay, may we hear.
I just want to protest. The Roman general comes to North Africa, and he gapes, and he calls this the Garden of Eden, and he takes slow.
I know.
North Africa.
I know. I said South Africa because of our personal interrelationships here. Obviously, I don't really mean South Africa. All right. I figured people know that. All right, everyone. Take care. Maybe hear Psurus Tavis and his Eirus for what needs to be Ma'orah. Kol Tov, everyone.